This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Here's the news you're not supposed to know. Bernie won. Oh, there's confusion. Just look in the press, they'll say, oh, there's such confusion. And it seems that no one can quite count the number of votes in Iowa. Oh, it's complicated. It's three sets of data. The app crashed. No, let me tell you what the news is. Bernie Sanders won the Iowa caucus. This is admitted even by the New York Times, who said, as of late last night, Sanders' lead in raw votes has grown to just over 2,500. And they also say, with 97% of precincts reporting, which sounds like almost all of them, but I'll explain more about that in a minute, Pete Buttigieg's lead over Bernie Sanders has shrunk to 0.1%, or a total of three state delegate equivalents. That's part of the cloud, part of the nebula that keeps you from seeing what happened. State delegate equivalents. I mean, they do have a caucus system, but when you're 2,500 votes ahead before Des Moines has reported, and Des Moines is strongly pro-Sanders, Sanders won. So you get to hear it on community radio, and you don't get to hear it much anywhere else. Sanders should give a victory speech now. They knew it. The question before is whether the delay in the Iowa count is an effort to steal the primary vote for a corporate-friendly candidate like Buttigieg. And let me tell you, Buttigieg is also very much a Pentagon-friendly candidate. He is the Pentagon candidate. Or is it there to hide how badly Biden crashed? Or is it an attempt to suppress the socialist vote for Bernie Sanders? Well, why choose this? This question does not appear in an ontological vacuum. Far from it, we have the specific and historic data to make this accusation. Real journalism would be asking this question. So let me set the table here. Whatever the official final count is, the real story of the night, that Pentagon and corporate-owned Buttigieg and socialist Sanders trounced Biden has been effectively hidden. A map of the state shows that the cities went for Sanders and the countryside voted Buttigieg. I'm going to talk about the widespread election theft in this benighted country. And I'm going to cite some historic examples. And if that set of phrases started you into framing this discussion in terms of conspiracy theory, slap yourself in the face a couple of times sharply. Just slap yourself in the face for me. There you go. Deep breath. Since the Hanging Chads and the Brooks Brothers riots of a generation ago, we have reams of evidence, enough for any international court to convict the Republican and Demo-Republican parties of stealing elections. The Republicans steal general elections, and the Democrats steal their own primaries. And I'm going to prove it right here, but none of this should keep you from participating in voting. My aim here is to get you to force the system to accept your vote. My aim is to get you to persistently follow your vote and make sure it's recorded and make sure everyone else's vote is recorded. So let's pick an almost arbitrary standing point. Actually, it's not entirely arbitrary because it's one that for some reason is forgotten. That's the 2004 John Kerry loss of the presidency. Kerry actually won that election, and a brief study of the Wikipedia entry, by which I mean following up briefly on the links provided, not just reading it, will convince you that Kerry, like Gore, won the vote. Like Gore, he militantly conceded, which is another matter, but we'll get to that in a minute. Here's a detail from that entry discussing one of many sites of election theft, in this case Ohio. And when the calibrated exit polls grossly mismatched the vote tally due to electronic vote switching, of course, the major news organizations, including CNN, switched their poll results to match the vote results. They switched their poll results on the screen to match the vote results. They have an excuse for this sort of chicanery, which I won't bother to repeat here. So the logical thing to do is to recount the votes. But in a state with a Republican Secretary of State, that's not so easy. Here's the entry. And remember, this is 16 years ago. In Ohio, they write, two minor party presidential candidates, Michael Badnarik of the Libertarian Party and David Cobb of the Green Party, cooperated in requesting a recount. And we're talking about the Kerry-Bush election the selection of Little Boots Bush. Returning to the text here, according to Ohio recount rules, 3% of a county's votes are tallied by hand. So this got down to the county level. And typically, one or more whole precincts are selected and combined to get the 3% sample. The 3% must be randomly selected, and all hand counts are to be performed in public with observers. After the hand count, the sample is fed into the tabulator. If there is no discrepancy, the remaining ballots can be counted by the machine. Otherwise, a hand recount must be done for the whole county. The Cobb campaign claimed, remember that word, that the precincts were not randomly selected and the ballots were pre-sorted. This is for the recount. They suggested that this indicates that precincts were selected that would match the machine count in order to prevent a countywide hand count, i.e. that it was staged, and that word is in scare quotes. Now, that last couple of sentences, let me point out that it uses corporate words, and it came from corporate copy. Not going to blame the Wikipedia writers for this. They don't have time. But it says the Cobb campaign claimed that they weren't selected. They suggested that it indicates, and they say that it was staged, and that's in scare quotes. Well, listen to the next sentence. Two poll workers were convicted of pre-selecting ballots for the recounts. So note that word, claimed. Note the scare quotes on stage. In fact, there is now absolutely no doubt, no reason for scare quotes. Here's a quote of the AP article that came out titled, Election Staff Convicted in Recount Rig. And AP wrote, two election workers were convicted of rigging a recount of the 2004 presidential election to avoid a more thorough review in Ohio's most populous county. Jacqueline Maiden, elections coordinator of the Cuyahoga County Elections Board, and ballot manager Kathleen Dreamer, each were convicted of a felony count of negligent misconduct of an elections employee. They also were convicted of one misdemeanor count each of failure of elections employees to perform their duty. Prosecutors accused Maiden and Dreamer of secretly reviewing pre-selected ballots before a public recount on December 16, 2004. They worked behind closed doors for 3 days to pick ballots they knew would not cause discrepancies when checked by hand, prosecutors said. Ohio gave President Bush the electoral votes he needed to defeat Democratic Senator John Kerry in the close election and hold on to the White House in 2004. Maiden and Dreamer, who still work for the Elections Board, face a possible sentence of 6 to 18 months for the felony conviction. And following up on that, I don't have it written down here, but they were actually convicted. And then later they did their time and got it expunged from the record and all kinds of stuff. But the conviction was real. They did it. And I'm starting on, as you can guess, I've got a list of these things. Because, like I said, this is not coming in an ontological vacuum. What happened in Ohio? What always happens? Excuse me, in Iowa. And these vote thefts are always on behalf of white voters. And they're always on behalf of the white candidate, in this case, Bush. And if you follow the elections, you see... If you split it up by demographics, it's the white candidates, it's the white voters' candidate that gets boosted by these things. And whenever the vote count or delay is questioned, there is a chorus of hems and harumphs from the corporate-owned, white-owned media. In the case of Bush Jr.'s election thefts, both of them, the machinations against black, indigenous, and people of color have become a matter of proven history. Greg Palast has been doing the work for the greater majority of revelations about the Republicans' techniques, which include directly removing people of color from the voter rolls. And so now, just to review where we've gone with this, I've talked about going so far as to actually throw the recount to make sure that when elections are stolen, in that case it was the electronic switching of votes, it goes as far as making sure that the recount doesn't work. Let me quote Palast in a recent interview. He was in London, he said, and got hold of two computer disks from inside the office of the Florida Secretary of State. Her name was Catherine Harris. Here he's talking about the 2000 election. She was also running the Bush re-election campaign, and she had removed before the election tens of thousands of black folk from the voter rolls, saying that they were ex-cons, felons who in the state of Florida could not vote. So she removed tens of thousands of people. But not one American outlet said, are these really criminals? Are they, in fact, ex-cons? And Greg Palast says that he got the list, and exactly none of them were. Zero, none at all. And departing from that, other news organizations report that it was at least 99% false positives. But returning to what Greg Palast said, they were people like Willie Steen, a Gulf War veteran, unlike our draft-dodging president at the time, and the current draft-dodging president, who couldn't remember which foot was so bad he couldn't go to Vietnam. It was the right or left, Donald, 50-50, so we busted them. They removed all these black people. That's how a Bush became a president. In 2004, we saw Kerry was denied the presidency by stealing it in Ohio. Obama overcame the steal. Obama overcame the steal. That's when I wrote an update to The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Palast said. And he says he did the film, which premiered as a benefit for KPFA, in which he said in the version that premiered in Berkeley that Donald Trump was going to steal this election. But he says, but you didn't listen. No, you bought your party dresses for Hillary's inauguration. It was all locked up. Forget about it. It's done and dusted. And he goes on to talk about how he talked about the cross-check interstate system of removing voters who are registered in two states, except that people are not registered in two states. And he explains that children of slaves were given names like Jackson, Johnson, Black, and Jones. In addition, they matched minority names like Garcia, etc., and 85 of the 100 most common last names in America are minority names, and they used that. Basically, if your first and last name matched someone in another state, you had a very good chance of losing your vote. In other words, like James Edward Brown was supposed to have been the same guy as James Thomas Brown. That's from Greg Palast. So that's two methods of stealing the vote that we know about and which have been used right in front of our faces, and we know about in detail now. Books have been written that the votes are switched electronically, the recount was skewed, the recounts have been shut down. Al Gore wouldn't let the recount go through when the Congressional Black Caucus demanded it. Liz Stein was shut down when she was doing the Democratic Party's work and trying to show that polls have been closed and ballots were not properly counted. I believe that was in Michigan in 2016. And we have this phenomenon in which Kerry concedes, Gore concedes, Hillary concedes, and they won't actually count the ballots. What does that mean about the Demo-Publican and Republican parties? Of course, I'm being snarky here and saying Demo-Publican and Republican, because when it comes down to certain things, like when it comes to Imperial War, they're the same party. Now, quoting Mike Ludwig in Truth Out, in the 6 years since the Supreme Court gutted a crucial section of the Voting Rights Act, making it easier to shut down polling places, local election officials in 13 states have closed 1,688 polling stations, according to a new report from the Leadership Conference Education Fund. Most of the closures occurred after the 2014 midterm elections. In 2018, when midterm voter turnout reached a record high, there were 1,173 fewer polling stations in these states than there were just 4 years earlier. Now, I'm sitting in the studio here, Studio 2 at KBOO Portland, and here in Portland and in Oregon, we get to vote by mail, and so we haven't experienced the voter suppression that is present in most U.S. states for many years now. But it's there, and it's active, and it is the reason why we have this apartheid government, why we have a hateful white supremacist like Trump in the presidential office. So the Republican theft machine, and I'll get around to the Democratic theft machine, but the Republican theft machine works by closing polls, particularly since the expiration of the Voting Rights Act, by denying registrations with cross-check and similar mechanisms, by directly flipping votes with unauditable, privately owned voting machines and software, and even by getting the poll workers to fake the recount results. They've got you coming and going, but there's another very powerful agent on their side, and that is the corporate-owned media that always, always pretends that when a vote is delayed or an exit poll doesn't match, it can't be because our election system is demonstrably, historically, obviously corrupt. And in that way, corporate media protects the power of whiteness. Because, as I said, these thefts are always for the white people's candidates, and I mean the candidate that white people have voted for in the majority. The white majority gets translated via these tactics into the electoral majority. And black, indigenous, and people of color get excluded. And it's no wonder that Black, Indigenous, and people of color and the left in general tend to feel discouragement about the whole process. It's just conditioning. It's the accumulated bruises from being slapped away from the democracy time and time again. And then being lied to about having the vote stolen just adds to the pain. We get gaslighted over this. And this is why I'm so militant about asking what the hell happened in Iowa. Well, let's stay focused on that just for a moment. Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman had written about this in Truth Out. And by the way, I'm taking your calls. The number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Fitrakis and Wasserman, excellent writers. And they have an article in Truth Out, which starts off saying, "The chaos in Iowa's Democratic primary is nothing new. Pure incompetence along with election manipulation and theft have been with us since the birth of the Republic. But since Florida 2000, bitterly contested ballots with immense long-term impacts have launched the nation as a whole into a toxic limbo that could easily contribute to a Trump victory this fall. There is an antidote," they write, "hand-marked and hand-counted paper ballots. Now they can even come with computerized backup that makes the vote casting and counting process safe, secure, and transparent. But in Iowa 2020, we see the consequences of doing otherwise. The Democratic Party is again paying the price. It has indisputably shown the world is incompetent and unable to run a critical election, being watched everywhere in real time by a deeply polarized public. Has this election been stolen? They write, "It's unclear, but the party's corporate wing, which controls the voting apparatus, has made no secret of its fear and loathing for Bernie Sanders and his populist social democracy. A product of the 1960s new left, Bernie Sanders has forged alliances with a new generation of activists pushing for social justice, a Green New Deal, Medicare for all, abolition of student debt, free higher education, a more just immigration policy, racial justice, and a challenge to empire. This all clearly frightens the corrupt Democratic Party apparatus with its deep corporate loyalties. Thus, it has become a widespread article of grassroots faith that some mainstream Democrats might well prefer a second term for Donald Trump over a first for Sanders or any other social Democrat like him." And by the way, if you go to the news aggregators on the web and you look up Bernie Sanders, you'll see article after article saying, "Don't vote socialist." And that's the real message here. It's like, don't even think socialist. They're so worried that that word has gotten loose and that people might look it up and decide that maybe they want to go for Bernie's very mild set of vaguely socialistic reforms, actually more of an FDR type reform. I've got the first caller. The number to call is 503-231-8187, and Edie's on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Hi. I'd like us to also have state-owned hardware for the vote count and open, clearly available for anyone to see, open software for the vote count. I also want to make sure that we do not allow folks in the vote, once the ballots are open, to have any pens or writing instruments that can be read by the machine. We can have yellow or pink felt pens, for the markers, but not have the pencil or pen that they routinely have. And I also want us to make sure that we have lifetime, counts there, and that we have the viewing stations for people to be in person viewing, but also having the cameras, so that we can see not that we see the names of who's on the ballot the ballots, but that we see how ballots are being handled and touched and seeing the live count as it's going on. So it's a split screen.
I think those are good ideas. I also think that we live in a society in which what is left of journalism is so attenuated that there are a few people who are available to actually observe any process. No matter what the process is, it has to be observed. Those observations have to be taken seriously, and I'll talk about exit polls.
I've observed in Multnomah and Clackamas County, and there was so much corruption in the Clackamas County system. And then we were not allowed to even write a when we would report that they would wrongly count on the organic labeling, and we'd say this person right here is consistently, you know, claiming that it's a vote against labeling when it was a vote for. And so I'm just saying that we can have folks, we can have lifetime, and we can have the split screen, you know, viewing, and publicly owned software and hardware, no control of, and nothing writable. And then
I'm so glad that you were there, and I want to thank you for that service, because more people need to do it. And the thing is, if you want to, I think that you should seriously, I say you, I mean the audience, should consider observing an election. This means getting up to speed now and getting on the list. And you can actually be there and watch what's happening, but you have to know in advance what to look for. And things happen right here. Things happen at every polling place.
Additionally, having free postage, I mean, people can put their own stamps on it to save the, you know, save the tax dollars. But if it doesn't have a stamp on it, it's covered.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's the little details like that that can make the difference. Hey, thanks very much for calling. I'm going to go to the next caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Dan's on the air.
Hey, Therese, good work as usual. I appreciate your loyalty to the topic. Through my observation of this democratic system through the Hillary Clinton, it was amazing to watch every single poll in America have Clinton up. And then when the report or when the news dropped that Trump won, you can see all the anchors' faces literally have no expression to what was reported to even them, which was being fed to us. And with Biden, you can almost see another carbon copy issue of what happened with Hillary Clinton. Biden up, and here you are. People are kind of like suppressed by the real results. In finishing, I also learned, you know, a lot about the delegate system through the Clintons and how there is a hierarchy of a group of people that they consider themselves more democratic than the people, that they want to preserve the Constitution or the democratic process through what the delegates say. So, I mean, they're creating kind of a top-down version instead of a bottom-up push. And Teresa, I appreciate your show. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. So I've been talking about Iowa, and when the Iowa results were mysteriously delayed, when Buttigieg announced he was the winner on Tuesday night without any way of yet knowing that he might be the winner, my suspicions were set aflame, and yours should be whenever you hear that an election just can't seem to come up with the ordinary normal count. As we've seen in 2020-04, the presidential election, the reason the results are delayed is that someone is screwing with the results, and a premature announcement of victory should give you the same heebie-jeebies. The DNC knew early on that they had tricked all California independent voters in 2016 into thinking that they could participate in the presidential primary election, and they knew that the provisional ballots handed out to those suckers would not be counted, and that's why Clinton announced her victory in the 2016 California primary at a time when around a million votes were still in play. How could she announce her victory? Those votes were never going to be counted, and she knew it. The details are on gregpalace.com, but we should learn from history and know that we are facing an effort to deny the U.S. electorate the chance to decide for socialism, because that's at play in this election. It may be that Bernie would not win the election without any tampering, of course. But we'll never know, because the tampering is happening. The app that supposedly caused the Iowa meltdown was the result of a product created by Clinton staffers accepting major cash for the Buttigieg campaign, accepting cash from the Buttigieg campaign, as the major news organizations sat flummoxed with zero results showing on their election charts. The Iowa Democratic headquarters maintained that the Shadow app, great name for a democracy killer, was functioning, had not crashed. It appears, despite the flurry of excuses, that it was intended to crash, to give the election fixers time to put plausible-looking results out that would deny Sanders a win and obscure the abject failure of the Biden campaign. Delay at such times is essential, as we learn from black box voting's videos of election techs sneaking out the back door of a polling place with a computer under their arm. You should watch that video. And I've got some more callers, and I'm going to get to you in just a moment, but I want to once again remind you, and please, regular listeners, please forgive me for telling this story again. that Oregon Senator Merkley's 2008 election was delayed with a bogus excuse. Does anyone remember? Namely, that water was affecting the ballot counting machines in the basement. This had everyone holding their breath because, at the time, Gordon Smith, Republican, held the lead from all the Oregon rural conservative counties at the time, and everyone was waiting to see if the far more liberal and far more populous Multnomah County ballots were going to put Merkley over the top or not. There's water in the basement, the story went, and that came out from the corporate media, but I could not determine that any Portland or Oregon news providers were actually on the scene, and I kind of doubted it. So KBOO's Stephen Conser, a.k.a. Conch, yes, you listen to him, words and pictures, he and I went down to Multnomah County elections there on Morrison and Belmont in southeast Portland to find that there wasn't any water and there wasn't any goddamn basement. As soon as we appeared with a recording rig, they changed their tune, and it turned out that they could count those ballots at a galloping clip, and they did, starting then, and I guarantee someone at Multnomah County elections had been ready to soak those ballots with a hose. Oh, darn, they can't be counted now. I guess Smith wins. That's how it would have gone. So the moral of the story is ask questions. Go to the polls. Observe the polls. You are not free from election tampering, and there is a dedicated crew, both with the Republicans and the Democrats. They have dedicated, trained crews that go out to screw with your elections at every single polling place. Don't doubt it. Don't fall. When you hear conspiracy theory about this sort of thing, you're standing with a cop with his gun out, pointing at people of color, because these elections have been stolen from people of color constantly. That's what it's about. Minority white rule. I'm going to go to the next caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, Brian, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just had a question, and I might have missed your answer earlier because I haven't caught the whole show, but on the reports that I heard, there was reports that Buttigieg's campaign had paid money to this shadow. It just always amazes me, shadow. But that Buttigieg paid, and I believe Biden paid. What were they paying for? Why would they pay this company money?
Okay, The parent company Acronym has been trying to distance themselves from the fact that they also have that sort of connections, and it would appear that they paid money for access to the app and for development of the app.
Isn't that a direct conflict of interest?
That's a good question.
I don't know. It seems obvious to me, but I'm not the smartest.
Well,
anyway, that was my question. If you get the answer or whatever, I'll be listening with perked up ears.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're asking the question, and that's where I want to go with this. It's like, this is what mainstream media, if it were our media, if it were true journalism, this is what they would be asking, because we have this this set of history and known facts, and we know how far the political powers will go to keep democracy from actually happening. Here's a quote from Vox, Emily Stewart. Shadow is a tech company, and both Acronym and Shadow have described their relationship as an acquisition, not an investment. Now they're trying to back off, and they're scrubbing the web, actually, and saying that, oh, they only invested in the app. And in the past, and on multiple occasions, they have described their relationship as an acquisition. Acronym and McGowan in the past have touted their work with Shadow. It's been touted on Twitter and talked about it on podcast as recently as last month. But now Acronym has scrubbed its website of mentions of launching Shadow and says it's just one of multiple investors along for the ride. Acronym's decision to distance itself from Shadow, or perhaps lying about it altogether, she writes, is making the situation worse, not better. So this is extremely, extremely shady, and there is every reason to say that this result that left people standing agog, that left national commentators standing with their mouths open with zeros on the board, was intentional. I've run out of time, my goodness. So you've got to stay tuned, because Parafoggering is coming up here on KBOO Portland. And if you enjoyed doing this, please contribute to KBOO Radio. We've got Pledge Drive coming up next week. And please go to the podcast either on kboo.fm, or go to, you can go to Apple Podcasts, you can go to Switcher, and please rate and review Press Watch on those if you listen to the podcast on the app in that way, because that way other people can find it. Right now, this podcast is pretty much invisible. So help me out there, won't you? You've been listening to KVOO.FM. In that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.